And you'll notice here that God is glorified in heaven for his works of creation and providence. You'll notice that the heavenly church, they acknowledge that God created all things. That's the first part of coming to give all honor and all glory unto God. And so everything that you have, everything you possess, your own body, your mental faculties, the breath you breathe, is the gift of God, and we bow to worship and give him the honor.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and on this first, welcome you, and we trust the Lord will bless you through the ministry of God's Word here as we let the Bible speak from the pulpit of our Free Presbyterian Church. It is my joy in this new year to bring you the Word of God, and we give God the praise for this opportunity and for the means that we have to bring the gospel to you wherever you are, in your home, your car, your workplace, perhaps even in hospital, or even someone in jail or prison. I trust the Lord's Word will be a liberating and a glad message to your heart as you trust in the Lord today. Now, our message is on Jesus is Worthy, Revelation chapter 4, where it says, Thou art worthy to receive glory, honor, and power. And that will be our message. We have music today on Be Thou Exalted. And I pray that in this new year, we will indeed exalt the Lord in word and in deed. We begin with our question for today, and it's on knowing and determining the will of God. Perhaps you have posed this very question on how you are to know the will of God in your own heart and in your own life. How do we determine the will of God? Now, as this is January, this is a very obvious and a very necessary question for each of God's people. Every new year brings about new directions in all our lives and call for new decisions. We need to know God's will about our work, home life, educating children, where to worship, what is the best church in which to serve God, and for some it may be the gut-wrenching decision to move house or even to move to a new city or a new country. It is vital to know God's mind in each of these things, and only the fool will boast of his own decision-making. The Apostle James said, Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. James' warning only highlights our individual need to discern the will of God. But God doesn't just deal in negatives. An outstanding scripture for positive guidance is found in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The first part of Solomon's advice in this proverb is that knowing God's will is a matter of the heart. If our hearts are not right, we will not have God's direction. The nature of the sow is to her wallowing in the mire, and the heart of man is deceitful. He cannot trust in his own natural desires as he makes decisions. So we need a new heart. You need to be born again, and your desires and affections need to be controlled by the indwelling power of God the Holy Spirit. Then you must submit to the Lord's leading. That is, to truly give your heart in faith through obedience to God's word, to lead you into his will. So often we want God to follow us in our paths because we want our own way. Our own way so often ends in untold sorrows and wasted years. The second part of Solomon's advice is, lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't think you can work it out on mere rational terms. To be free from your own human thinking, you must fill your mind with God's word. The doctrines, histories, and examples of God's saints in the Scriptures must govern your thinking and decision-making. The third piece of advice in this passage, Proverbs 3, is this: in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. To acknowledge God is to realize that He is there controlling. Because He has promised to guide you, He is interested in guiding your heart and directing your paths. That is the promise of the very text of Proverbs 3, and He shall direct thy paths. There it is. God will step in to lead and guide. He will work things out for the best. Because God is perfectly wise, He uses the best possible means for the best possible ends. Because God is our loving Heavenly Father, He works all things for our good. That means there are times that God will open doors, and there are times when He will close doors. The long-established advice calls us to cease from our own will and actually pray that the Lord will close any door that is not right for us. This calls each Christian to submit as a little child to a loving father. Solomon did this at the beginning of his reign, and God honored his prayer. If you are at a crossroads in your life right now, and decisions are pressing, then it is time to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Decision time is trusting time. It is praying time, and it is a yielding time to the good and perfect will of God for your life. God has a general will which applies to each and every Christian. He calls every one of us to obedience to the moral law. The Ten Commandments are for each and every child of God. But God also has a particular will for His people. Not all are called to be missionaries, preachers, or Bible translators. To know God's will in a particular manner, there are three principles to note. Firstly, ability. A cat cannot do a horse's work, so God equips and fits the man or woman for the task. Aptitude. If God is calling you to a particular work, He will give you the heart to do it. He will plant a burden in your soul so that it is the very thing you want to do. And indeed, over time, it becomes the thing that you must do. Thirdly is opportunity. God will open the door of opportunity to you in a definite and particular manner. On the other hand, God also exercises His power and wisdom to close the door, which He knows is right for you. He is too wise to make a mistake and too kind to do you wrong. That requires that you trust and rest in His wise provision for you. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. George Newmark knew much of God's mind in seeking God's will, as expressed in his famous hymn, "If thou but suffer God to guide thee, and hope in Him through all thy ways, He'll give thee strength whate'er betide thee, and bear thee through the evil days." Who trusts in God's unchanging love builds on the rock that naught can move. Only be still and wait His leisure, in cheerful hope with heart content, to take whate'er thy Father's pleasure and all-discerning love hath sent. Nor doubt our inmost wants are known to Him who chose us for His own. May the Lord bless you today as through the ministry of our Let the Bible Speak program we deal today with the fact that our Lord Jesus is worthy. He's worthy of our worship.
Let's turn to Revelation 4 and to the final verse of that chapter. The final verse of Revelation 4, verse 11. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." On this first Sunday of the new year, I want us to take our cue from the saints in glory who sang this song as they took the crowns from their heads and laid them at the Savior's feet. The saints in heaven reach their highest dignity as they honor the Lord and give Him all their worship. They dress in white, they wear crowns, they gather around the throne in the very presence of the King, and yet their dignity is not sullied with any kind of pride, because as we learn, they lay their crowns at the Savior's feet. This has to be the very deepest form of consecration. It is to take that spirit of John the Baptist, who said, "I must decrease that he might increase." And in heaven, these saints, their act of consecration is in total agreement with their worship. As they sing, "Worthy, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." And you'll notice here that God is glorified in heaven for His works of creation and providence. You'll notice that in the heavenly church, they acknowledge that God created all things. That's the first part of coming to give all honor and all glory unto God. And so everything that you have, everything you possess, your own body, your mental faculties, the breath you breathe, is the gift of God, and we bow to worship and give Him the honor. Also, we learn that all things were created for God's pleasure. They were not created for us. Oh, that's the humanistic thinking, that everything I have is for me. It's for my pleasure to do as I please. They give me license to live as I want. No, these saints in heaven, they give worship and honor and glory to the Lord, for all things were created for thy pleasure. Let that change your thinking today. Let that fix your very principle of living. God is creator, and everything is for His pleasure. He takes pleasure in the material world. He takes pleasure in the nations. He takes pleasure in your life, in your home. He takes pleasure in your deeds, in your words, and even your thoughts. God desires holy thoughts, that He may take pleasure in our worship and honor of His great name. The other thing is that all intelligent beings are bound to glorify God for His works of creation and providence. You recognize where these benefits come from? You are now bound to give Him the glory for it. Oh, that we could truly say today that we were as these heavenly saints. Oh, that we could find a band of people who are half as holy, half as consecrated as these saints in heaven. And surely we're onto something here. Surely this opens up for us a great issue, that our worship on earth should to some degree and in some measure reflect the very glory of the honor that is given to the Lord by the church in heaven. If we're not a reflection of that church, then we're not even a true church. If we are not a people who have the same attitude, the same very motive of worship, then can we call ourselves the church of the Lord Jesus here on earth? I would dare to set anything before you today like a New Year's resolution, or to ask you to model one thing in the year, and this is the thing that is before us. It would be for me to make me the happiest pastor in the world, to minister to a people who count the Lord Jesus to be worthy of their glory, of honor, and power. These are the three titles that are given to the Lord in this text. Glory, that's the very essential deity, Godhood. His honor, that's his authority, and power, to recognize that there is none greater, and he is the Creator and our Redeemer. If you would join in on these praises with all your heart, then you would add your voice to the worth of the Savior. And you would say with us today, he is worthy. You will also say that to be a Christian is worthy. It's worthwhile. It's the greatest thing in the world to be a Christian, because our Christ, our Savior, is altogether worthy. And in this world, we may be misunderstood, we may be maligned, and we may be dealt with the madness of this world, but yet it will be worthy, and worth it all, because Christ is worthy. Let us think on this today.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, and we thank you for joining with us on the program today. If I can be of any personal help, if you would like to receive CDs of these messages, magazines, a copy of Matthew's Gospel, perhaps you have friends, family you'd like to share these with, we have a number free of charge, courtesy of Trinitarian Bible Society. And of course, we would love to help you with having you joining us here at our church services, viewing our webcast by computer, and all this information you can get at our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca, or call us at 604-576-1091. The address of our church, for those who wish to visit or meal, is 18790 58th Avenue, Cloverdale, B.C., V3S 1M6. We look forward to having you. Trust you'll stay with us for the rest of the program and for the announcements at the close. We'll give you these details again. May the Lord bless you today through his word from the pulpit ministry of our Free Presbyterian Church.
The Christian life is worth it because Christ is worthy. Number one, he is worthy of our worship. What kind of person is this that souls worship, that sings songs to him, that they assemble around his throne and lay their crowns at his feet? If we were in a vast crowd in any earthly situation, and the whole crowd was focused upon an individual, offering him songs of praise, we would say, what is this? Who is this? It must be some God. And when in heaven we witness these who worship in the presence of God, yes, he is God. And he's worthy of our worship because he is God in human flesh. On the night of his birth, the angels made the announcement. The shepherds came to behold the holy sight. And wise men brought their gifts to worship him. He's worthy of our worship today. You left your home. You traveled the distance. You've taken the time. You've assembled here with God's people. And he is worthy of our worship because he is the God-man, God in the flesh, who took our nature like unto us. And as Thomas the Doubter, when he put his hands into the nail-pierced hands of the Savior, he said, my Lord and my God. He's worthy. He's worthy of our worship as Redeemer on the tree. And here we must rehearse the story again of our Lord on that cruel cross. Does anyone question the love of the Savior for our souls? Don't you know that this communion table that is set before us here today is to remind us of the love of our Savior? This is a love feast. It's to remind us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that our Lord Jesus would go to that cross and bear agony, suffering, and sorrow, and to know that his death was a voluntary sacrifice. He offered himself. He loved you so dearly that he offered himself to go to that cross. And it was a vicarious sacrifice. He took our place. And when that hammer was swinging and the nail was driven into the hands of the Savior, it was my body that should have been nailed to the tree, but the Lord Jesus took my place. And when the whip lashed and plowed his back, it was my back that should have suffered and endured the torment for my own sins that I've committed. But my Lord Jesus took my place, became the victim of the Father's wrath, endured the torment. Indeed, he endured the hell that I should have spent for all eternity. And in my place, the Lord Jesus took that sorrow and suffering for me. His death was also a victorious sacrifice because it paid the price, something I could never have done, because he was the God-man, God in the flesh. Because he was infinite, his blood is of infinite value. And our Lord Jesus poured out his blood in my place because one drop of his blood is of infinite value to save my soul. He's worthy of our worship because he took our place, became our lamb. Now, if you go to chapter 5, verse 9, you will notice again in the song of the saints in glory, they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. There's the Lord Jesus as the Lamb. There he is as the overcomer. He opened the book. And we that were shut out of the inheritance of heaven, the book is opened, and our name is placed there. Is he not worthy to you today of your worship? So he's worthy because he was God in the flesh, Redeemer on the tree, but also King on the throne. You can't read through this book of Revelation and not discover that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. And that's why they take their crowns and they give their honor to the King, to whom no one can dethrone, no one can topple. Earthly thrones are always in danger of some invader, some army that will come, some general that will lead his troops to storm the castle, take the king, and install a usurper upon the throne. But in heaven, he is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the overcomer. And we're told in Revelation 5:10 that we shall reign with him on the earth. That's an eternal reign, by the way. That's a reign whenever there will be new heavens and a new earth. And all who are united to the Lord Jesus and all who have trusted him as their Savior, all who are washed in his blood, all who are whose names are in his book, will reign with him. He's king. We will be his subjects. We will take our crowns and lay them at his feet because he is worthy of our worship. And today, you are called to a renewed consecration, a renewed dedication, to take that thing that would come between you and the Lord and lay it at the Savior's feet.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.